It's time for our weekly sit down with Matt Stringer, the chief executive of RNIB. However, Matt is on holiday. So David Clark, the services director, has stepped in. Thanks for joining us, David.
Absolute pleasure.
Very apt you're joining us because we're going to be talking a lot about sports. We've got a few topics to talk about, but let's start off with a really big project which RNIB is involved in with British Blind Sports with help of Sport England. This is See Sport Differently.
Sports played a huge part in my life, you know, having played football and goalball at international level in my long distant past. But it's not just about that. You know, it's about movement, it's about activity, it's about well-being. And I'm afraid that where we currently stand in society is that the opportunities are not equitable. They're not as obvious for people with sight loss. And we wanted to work with real professionals in the area to bring this issue to life and start looking at it in more detail. And so delighted to be working with colleagues from British Blind Sport, led by Chief Executive Elena McGregor, who's done wonders for many, many years in this area, and also with the support of Sport England, and really push this issue in a number of areas. But essentially, we're looking at the well-being aspects of sport and equitable access to sport, and then also at public attitudes, you know, social attitudes to blind and partially sighted people, not just playing sport, but consuming sport, experiencing sport. How do we make venues completely accessible? You know, whether you're going to the rugby at Murrayfield, or you're watching the football at Windsor Park, or you happen to be at the tennis at Wimbledon, how do you actually experience that event in the same way through perhaps different means a fully sighted person might?
It is hugely important, David, in all aspects, as you say. You know, it's not about encouraging more blind and partially sighted people to play sport. That's a great thing, or get involved in leisure activities. And that consumption thing is all important. You know, some football grounds you go to, you can get specific audio described commentary, but it's not everywhere. You're going to a stadium, are you going to get support and be able to find your way around easily? It's a really big topic to cover.
It is, absolutely. And it goes even wider than that. You know, what kind of reception do you get when you go to the gym? What level of support is available? What about working in sport? It's a huge industry, and there's lots of different aspects of that industry, and it's quite legitimate that blind and partially sighted people might want to work in that space. But also, as you say, consuming, you know, what is my experience of viewing sporting activity on the television, for example, you know, with the prevalence of audio description and that kind of thing. And of course, recently there's been some really good stuff out there. You know, as I very much enjoyed during the European Championships, the ability to combine the BBC radio commentary with the pictures on the TV, so I could sit watching with my family and we can both enjoy it in our own way together. So that's one area, but I do think this needs proactively looking at, you know, to ensure that the experience is equitable, and also that the social attitudes are developed to understand that blind and partially sighted people not only want to play sport and do activities, but as I say, they want to consume sport in the way that anyone else does, and they want to work in sport, and they want to be involved in sport, and they want to volunteer in sport. And I guess sometimes also, Alan, sport in itself is kind of an off-putting word. You know, this is about movement. It's about being active. It's about well-being. It's about feeling the best version of yourself. And too many times, blind and partially sighted people are forgotten in that space. And this project is designed to really bring that out and to get everyone, blind and partially sighted people and wider society, who haven't perhaps considered the role of blind and partially sighted people in this space, to see sport differently.
It's a great time to have it, isn't it? You've got the Paralympics coming up later this year. You've got the World Football Championships for Blind Football coming to Birmingham as well, mm-hmm. 2023. So yeah. It's an ideal opportunity to have this particular project running. Well, some pretty high profile events will be on almost everyone's television and radio.
Yeah, I mean, very excited. Wearing another hat, I sit on the advisory board to the IBSA World Games 2023. And people might also know that I'm a director of the British Paralympic Association in a non-executive role. And you're right, it's all coming together at the right time. It's really, really exciting. And we have stuff to build on. But this particular project is aimed at reaching those people who haven't necessarily felt the need to or even understood the opportunity exists to engage with sport, engage with activity, engage with that employment, volunteering, or even just going along to an event. And that might be because it's never really piqued their interest before, but it also might be that it's felt exclusive. It's felt like it's not for them, that it would be difficult, that they wouldn't experience what they might think it's appropriate to experience. And so this project is all about getting to thousands of people who haven't previously felt that opportunity exists. And the way we're going to do that is through the money and the wonderful stewardship of Sport England, the terrific reputation that British Blind Sport has within visually impaired grassroots sport, and the reach of the RNIB that we have. You know, we will see something like 60,000 people who are newly diagnosed with sight loss through eye clinics alone this year. It's really, really important that all of those people and all of our wider audience and our wider customer base understand that these opportunities don't end at the point of diagnosis.
Another event taking place, so we're going to look at football again. We've just finished the Euro 2020, of course, so football very much in the minds of people at the moment. But in terms of disability sports, a big event coming up as well, David.
Yes, so this very weekend, the Disability Cup, which is being held at St George's Park, and it's somewhere I'm going to be myself, actually. I'm really, really looking forward to it. Well, we've got five finals across blind, partially sighted, amputee, cerebral palsy and power wheelchair. This is a fantastic example of how an organisation such as the FA, along with their sponsors and partners, BT and others, have really brought disability sport alive and into the mainstream. And when we talk about changing social attitudes, which our customers tell us is the biggest barrier to them living the life they want to lead, this kind of activity is super. So across the weekend, you're going to be able to watch all five finals on BT Sport. You're going to be able to watch the finals with audio description, which is, I think, the first time certainly I've ever heard of it. And if you're very unlucky, you might well see me doing a bit of punditry, Al, you know, which is a first for me, I have to say. I've done a fair bit of armchair punditry, it's fair to say. But I'm so excited about it because I imagine that all these league competitions have happened throughout the year. And of course, it's been incredibly challenging to keep programs going during COVID. And for reasons that everyone's well aware of, a lot of sort of grassroots competitions have had to stop. But I just think it's such an amazing thing that all these teams are going to be gathering together at St George's Park over the weekend. We're going to have some quality finals in lots of different disciplines. And for this to be broadcast live on TV and free to air across those platforms with BT Sport, I just think it's so exciting and such a game changer.
It's difficult if you want to watch a game on the telly and you want to listen to it on the radio, because generally you'll get a better commentary on the radio. Yeah. But the time lag makes that not possible. So it'll be interesting to actually be able to have it on the TV and have the description, and I'll know where the ball is. You know, I'm not going to get a story of someone's playing career from how many goals they scored in the last match. I'm actually going to get a kick by kick, and I'll know where it is.
Yeah, well, you might get that story of someone's old career if I'm let loose, but but I'm sure you'll forgive me. No, you're right. You know, I just love the fact that BT Sport are embracing this, and we've seen lots of different innovations, haven't we, in sports commentary? You know, from, you know, in the way that sort of punditry has come into a bit more and a bit more sort of character around that. We've seen sort of fan zones where, you know, fans are literally having a chat as the game's going on one of the audio streams. And why not a specific audio described commentary done by professional people who know there is a certain audience out there who need to know more about the actual happenings on the pitch? I think this is a real trailblazing moment, actually, Alan.
And fingers crossed, you know, this could go beyond football and other sports will get the Eddie touch as well. Let's finish off, Dale, with some news, some fundraising news and some sort of get fit or get yourself out there news as well. We've got the virtual marathon coming up.
During lockdown, there's been a number of different stresses and strains placed on RNIB and the work we've had to do to make up for some very challenging circumstances and some very challenging circumstances our customers have faced during the COVID crisis, from shopping to medical appointments to access to, you know, company and chat and advice and all those kind of different things. And the one thing that's absolutely kept us going is our volunteers and particularly those involved in fundraising. I would like also just to echo that. It's been a phenomenal effort on behalf of everybody, and we are so, so grateful for the work you've enabled us to continue to do and in some areas accelerate. So on the 3rd of October, RNIB will be taking part in the virtual marathon. You will be delighted to know, I know all your listeners will be delighted to know, maybe even yourself, Alan, will be delighted to know that places are available to join our virtual marathon. You've got to run the marathon distance, or let's say, given the fact that I've just turned over 50 years old, I need to cover the marathon distance in a slow trot or a walk or an amble or whatever you want to do. And you have 24 hours to do it. So, you know, you may be able to have the odd stop off here and there. You never know. And you can sign up for that by going to rnib.org.uk/virtual marathon. And hear about this. For July only, you can use virtual free virtual free, all in capital letters, as a code to register for free, and then whatever you raise is whatever you raise. And as I said, we are so grateful to everyone who's continued to raise money to support our work throughout the lockdown and the COVID period. And this is just another fun, there you go, that's the word we're looking for, fun opportunity to go raise some more money and contribute to your daily steps.
Now, if you would like any more information on any of the topics we've been talking about, or you'd like to learn more about RNIB's services, do get in touch at rnib.org.uk. You can call our friendly helpline, guys, on 0303 123 9999. If you have an Amazon Echo device, just ask Lady A, we won't say her name, to call RNIB's helpline. David's great chatting with you again. I'm feeling very athletic now, or do I need to go for a lie down? I'm not sure, but thanks so much for joining us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Absolute pleasure, Alan.